Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are in Parashat Miketz, and we also at Erev Chanukah.
Amen.
When we're talking about Parashat Miketz, we of course all know the dreams of Pharaoh's dream, and how Joseph finds out what it's all about. And then we see Joseph rules all over Egypt. From one point, he is a slave in jail. And 2 minutes later, he is the ruler of Egypt. Which is something really unbelievable to understand. And it always falls on Shabbos Chanukah to understand that God is the one who controls the world. And if he wants somebody to be in a certain position, even if it looks impossible, if God wants it, it's going to happen. Who can imagine even a situation like this? Think about it. A slave, 2 minutes later, becomes the ruler of Egypt. Is it even logical, possible? It's something not unbelievable. You cannot even imagine a thing like this. And we read the parasha and we don't even think about it. Okay. He was a slave, but because we know who Joseph is. But does Pharaoh know who Joseph is?
No.
He doesn't know who he is. For him, this guy is a slave from jail that is standing the first time in his life in front of him. And he, after hearing a solution of a dream, gives him the...
But it was suddenly... It was suddenly
because when we read what's happening here, we see that it is suddenly. Because what is happening is like this. When he solves the dreams and tells him, and nevertheless, this slave tells him what to do. You know, you have to put somebody in charge that's going to gather things for in the good years, for the bad years. And not enough, this slave is coming and solving a salute. He's also giving advice, like he's being the he's the advisor of the king. Now, this is now something not normal here. And look what's happening. What is Pharaoh saying? Vayitav adavar b'nei Pharaoh v'nei avadav, and Pharaoh liked it, and not only him, which is also a very interesting thing, also his slaves. Who cares? If Pharaoh likes it, why should the slave like it? Who cares if they like it or don't like it? Pharaoh is the ruler. He decides what he wants to do. Vayomer Pharaoh el avadav, and Pharaoh talks to his slaves. Is there a guy like this? Vayomer Pharaoh el Yosef, and Pharaoh tells Yosef, after God told you everything that you told me, there is no wise guy and clever like you. You be the one in charge on everything. And he says, nobody is going to move his leg or hand unless you tell him to. This is
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. But the truth is that if we look today around us, can anybody imagine that suddenly Am Yisrael is going to be in charge on everybody all over the world? This small country? This small nation? Is it possible?
Unbelievable.
But who is the one in charge? God.
Hashem.
And if God decides, the same way Joseph 1 minute was in jail, in the pit, and the second minute is the ruler of Egypt. And it is really amazing to look at it and to understand, because the Torah is telling us that's what's happening today. So what are the lessons we can learn from here? First of all, let's see what is happening here when we're talking about the dreams of Pharaoh, and they look like very logical, understandable dreams. Think about it. What are the dreams? Seven
cows.
Fat cows, seven thin cows. The thin cows eat the fat cows. Then we have wheat, and the fall wheat, and then we have like very poor wheat, and the poor wheat eats the fall wheat. What are we talking about here? I'm asking you. What? Jewels? What? Cars? We're talking about food.
Nature.
And it's very, very understandable that we're talking here about good years and bad years. So how is it possible that all those wise people, and by the way, they were very clever, know what the Chartumim of Mitzrayim knew, till now people are trying to understand. They were very clever people. Now, those clever people couldn't see the simple solution. You know what our problem is in life? Sometimes, you know, if somebody very clever comes to us and asks us a question, we believe that this question is very, very complicated. Like if a physician, a very clever physician is going to ask us a question and give us something, we will immediately think
it's complicated.
And that's exactly the point. If he's going to ask him, how much is 2 plus 2? Mm-hmm. I think, 1 minute, 2 plus 2, if you do... 2 plus 2 is 4. Wow, it's very, very clear. You know, I don't know, it's a very famous story. When the United States started traveling to the space, so the space agency had to find a solution for a very important problem. When you're in space... there is no gravity, and sometimes you're upside down, and you need to write things. And a normal pen, the minute you turn it upside down, doesn't write. So they put millions, and they invented this special pen that till today, I think you can buy it on the plane. When you go on a plane, they sell those pens that write in any position. Doesn't matter if it's like this, opposite, the pen writes in any position. And they found a solution. Now, they had a competition with the Soviets, and the Soviets didn't have so much money to find a solution for the problem. But they had the same problem. So what did they do?
They copied the American one.
They used a pencil. A pencil writes in any position with no problem. So it was, didn't invest it one penny, only thought straight, because they didn't have any other option, so they straight, what can we do? Simple. The Americans, who had a lot of money, they spend a lot of money to find a solution, but you had a very simple solution. How didn't you see it? And that's exactly the point. We light the candles of Hanukkah at the height, they ask us to light between 30 centimeters to 1 meter. Of course, you can do it also up and down, but the idea is that's the best place. Why? Because you see it while you walk without having to raise your head and without having to lower your head. You just go between 30 and meter is something that you see all the time. In other words, we are surrounded with miracles. That's why we put Alanisim in Modim Anachnu Lach. Al nisecha v'al nifleotecha, on your miracles and all the wonders you do every day. So it's happening every day, but unfortunately we don't see it. But it's in front of our eyes. That's why we light the candles in a way to see that it's in front of our eyes. The same thing was with Pharaoh and his wise guys and Joseph. They couldn't believe that Pharaoh had a simple dream like this. It couldn't be. It was so... too simple. So they try to find all those complicated solutions. And Joseph came and told a very simple solution to teach us in life. Sometimes what we have to do is to clear our mind and look at things straight in the eyes. And then sometimes you find a solution you didn't even think about it. That is what we call thinking out of the box. Because if you're used to something or you think you know, you start to complicate things. Sometimes it's better off clear your mind and look at the thing straight ahead of you and you see the solution right there. And that's exactly what Joseph is trying to tell us. Sometimes in life, we see very complicated things and we try to find a complicated solution. And sometimes the solution is so simple that we don't see it with our eyes. By the way, talking about what we think and what is really in front of us, The same thing is with the Sefer Torah. We talked about it. When there is a problem in the Sefer Torah and one of the letters is not exactly clear, you know who you bring to check if it's clear, if it's the letter is right or wrong?
A sofer.
What?
A child.
A sofer.
One idea a sofer, the other one a child. Why a child, while a sofer?
Because a sofer...
A sofer knows what it's all about. Yeah. And why a child?
A child thinks this straightforward. I mean, he will identify and make it...
Why? What's the difference? Why? And the sofer cannot see it? Sofer is very clever. He's the one who writes Sefer Torah.
Around.
You know, you said the right answer.
Yeah.
The point is very simple. A sofer, which what would be the clearly the first idea. A sofer knows what it's all about. The problem with the sofer is that if he's look and it's not very clear, he will see what's not there. He will see what it's supposed to be. Because our mind works in a mysterious way. The mind is very clever. And sometimes when you see a sentence that you know from the past, and there is something missing in it, the mind, what is he doing?
He's putting it together.
He puts it in together. In other words, for example, Kabed et avicha ve et imecha. You should honor your parents. And you should honor, you will change the letters inside, leave only the first one and the last one. You will see that your mind automatically will read, you should honor your parents. Kabed et avicha ve et imecha. Why? Because that's what your mind thinks should be there. So the mind is already putting it in your head, that you see it, but you don't really see it. That's why, when there is a problem like this with Sefer Torah, they bring a child, because a child doesn't know what's supposed to be there. He just now learned how to read. So when the read, for example, is kulam or klum, kulam is everybody, and klum is nothing. And now with the kulam, the vav is in a wrong place, so a sofer will read what's supposed to be there. For example, if it's kulam, he will read kulam. But a child will see kelum. So in other words, because of knowledge sometimes, we don't see the solution in front of our eyes. And that's exactly what's happening with Pharaoh and Joseph and the wise people of Egypt. Now, why is it written that not only Pharaoh liked the solution, but also his slaves? Because imagine to yourself, comes this guy from jail, a slave, and gives Pharaoh a simple solution. What's going to happen now with all the wise people of Egypt? They'll be sucked in the good case. In the bad case, it will just take their head off. The same way as he did with Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ofim, the baker, he killed him, took his head off, and the Sarah Mashkim, he raised his head back to where he was. So they will hear the simple solution, they will start getting frightened, and they will try to find a way how to tell Pharaoh, he's not right, he's wrong, that's not the solution. You know, because you have to wait, you don't know. You have to wait 7 good years in order to know that there are 7 bad years going to come. It could be it's not the truth. What did your Joseph did? Joseph was very clever. So he knew. There is this story about a king who has a daughter who got very ill. And all the doctors couldn't find a cure. So the king, with having no other option, because his child was going down every day and it was only a matter of days that she's going to finish. So he put the ad in the paper, anybody who wants to come and cure the princess is going to be rewarded handsomely. Everything is going to give him. And there was this doctor that nobody wanted to know about. He did something wrong years ago and they just didn't want to accept him in the guild of the doctors. When he heard this, and he heard the case of the illness of the princess, he thought that he knows the cure, and nevertheless it's a very simple cure. So he came, he's got nothing to lose. He came to the king checked the princess, and it was what he thought. The solution was so simple that they couldn't see it. Because, as we say, they looked for
complicated
thing. Now, he had a problem. He knew. If he's going to tell the solution the way it is, so simple, the next thing is, it's not going to survive one day. They're going to kill him. They're going to find a way to get rid of him. Because it means that all the doctors don't know anything about what's going on. So what did he say? He said the solution is like this. It looks simple, but you need a very clever doctor to mix all the ingredients together in order to make the medicine. Wow, all the doctors were satisfied from the solution. Why? Because now their honor is still there. And because you have to be very clever in order to do it. The same thing did Joseph. Joseph knew, if I'm going to tell how simple the solution is, they're going to kill me. So what did he do? You need a clever, wise guy in order to organize everything, and that's what God is telling you, in order to organize everything, to put together in order to make the bad years make for the good years. You have to make sure that in the good years you support the bad years. And this way, everybody liked the solution. Also the slaves, because otherwise his wise people were in danger of being killed. You know, he's got all those group of white, clever people, and nobody can find a solution. And as we say, a lot of reasons. So we know now why they couldn't find a solution, because they looked for a very complicated thing. But we want to know how Pharaoh knew that the solution of Joseph is right. Who is Joseph?
Well, actually,
a guy a slave from the jail.
Wait a minute. He put him in the jail.
No. Not Pharaoh. Yeah, no. One of his servants.
Potiphar was naked.
Oh, it was a different Pharaoh.
Yes. And now, the point is, how does Pharaoh know that the solution is a real solution? You know, Pharaoh is not stupid. His advisors are not stupid. Why do you believe this slave? You know why? I'm not going to go the whole procedure, but when you look the dream of Pharaoh, and it's written there right very clear, and he says he dreams a dream, and then he dreams another dream. But the real truth is that he dreamt one dream, and he had a dream in a dream. You know, sometimes it happens that you dream about something, and in the middle of the dream, you dream that you wake up, and you go to sleep again and dream again. Now, this dream is a prophecy. If a thing like this happens, they say that this is a prophecy. It's one of 60 of a prophecy. Because to wake up and dream in a dream means that God wants to tell you something. Now, this is what he's telling, and he's telling it in a certain way that the one who's going to find the solution has to notice that it is one dream or two dreams. Now, when we see the Chartumim coming, he's telling, Vayisaper Paro lahem et chalomo. He's telling him how many dreams?
Two. One and
one. Chalomo. Yeah. One dream. Ve'en poter otam lefaro. And there is no one that has a solution for the dreams, for two dreams. So he understands right away, they don't know what I'm talking about. Because I really had one dream, and they are talking about two dreams, which is wrong. Then see what happens when Joseph is coming. He's telling in the dream, and by the way, we haven't got time, but when you go through in Hebrew, we will find out that he's really tricking Joseph in order to find out if he understands what he's talking about. And it's one dream, and he wakes up, doesn't dream, whatever it is. Vayomer Yosef el Paro, chalom Paro echad hu. It's not two dreams, it is one dream. Oh, when Pharaoh heard this, he understood this guy knows what he's talking about. All those clever people I had couldn't see that it was one dream. They thought it's two dreams. But it really was one dream, that in the dream I I went to sleep again and dreamt again, and that's why it's so important. That's what is Joseph telling him. Et asher ha'elokim osei, gid leparo. God gave you a prophecy. What's going to happen? God told you what's going to happen. So now Pharaoh realizes this guy knows what it's all about. The interesting point here is that Pharaoh puts himself as what? As a god. And this guy is saying, "You, I heard you. You can solve dreams." What is Joseph telling him?
It's Hashem.
I cannot solve anything. Elohim yedaber. God is going to speak. God is going to tell you. And what would a normal Pharaoh do now? This chutzpah is coming to me. I am the God, and he's telling me there is another God. Kill him! On the spot! Is he killing him?
No.
Nevertheless, well, he is telling Joseph, look what Pharaoh is telling. Unbelievable. It's really unbelievable when you read it. He's telling everybody, see, this one is God's spirit in him. And after God told you, wow, this Pharaoh become a believer. He believes in God. This is unbelievable. And they say the same thing is, when the Geulah Bezrat Hashem is going to come, you will see all the goyim. Suddenly, we'll see that God is the one and the only one. And they will believe God, and they will see Am Israel, Joseph, as the messengers of God. That's what we're hoping for. That's what Hanukkah is all about. You know, one of the interesting questions in Hanukkah is, the Gemara asks, Ma'i Hanukkah? What is Hanukkah? And everybody's asking, one, sorry? Our sages are stupid? They don't know what Hanukkah is? What? And you never said, Ma'i Purim? Ma'i Pesach? You never saw a question like this. So what is this strange question? But when you look, it's a very important question. Because what was the miracle of Hanukkah? What was it?
That the earth for the one oil. Day lasted there for 8 days.
So I'm going to ask you a question. The oil for one day was enough for eight days. I want to ask you a question. If the oil was enough, and that's what the miracle. When we say Al HaNisim, do you read Al HaNisim once?
Yeah.
Is there anything written about the miracle of the candle?
No.
Of the light? But that's Al HaNisim what we say. So how is it that we think that the miracle is because of this oil? But really when we read the Nes, it's not written. What's written in Al HaNisim? Me'atim be'ad rabim, me'atim be'ad torim. That the war, about the war. Yeah. That the pure were won against the impure. That the few won against the lot. So what is the miracle? I don't understand. What is really the miracle? Is it the small light that we light candles for it? Or is it this? And if this is something to do with the light, why is it not written on Anisim? And if it's not the light, why do we light candles? And that's exactly what our sages are asking, which is a very clever question. Ma'i Chanukah? What is it all about? And that's exactly the point. Chanukah is about the miracles that happen all the time. Chanukah is about winning, the few winning against the lot. Because that was the real victory. But this victory is nothing to do with us. It's with God, because the few won against the lot, because God wanted it to happen.
Like the Six-Day War.
Exactly. And that's exactly the point of this small candle that lights for 8 days instead of one. Because the miracle is there all the time, because one of the questions is, why do we celebrate 8 days and not seven? Because if the candle was enough for 1 day, so the first day is no miracle. So why do we say that we do 8 days? We should do 7 days. So why? Very simple. Because the first day is also a miracle, the same as the other seven. Because who told the candle to light? Who told that oil can light? Who? God. If God wanted water to light, water would have lit. In other words, even the first day is a miracle, nevertheless, it's not less, maybe more than all the others. That's why we put Al HaNisim in Modim. And that's why we put the candles in the height that we see it in front of us without having to raise our heads or to lower our heads. Because the miracles are around us all the time. And everything is a miracle. So the light of Chanukah is to lighten us the days and show us that the miracles are happening all the time. And that's why Chanukah is... What do you do on Chanukah? Nothing. What's the spell? The only thing you do is you light candles. And you do, say, Al HaNisim. Okay, but nothing more. Because the idea is to take the holiness into the normal days. To understand that God is there not only on Shabbos, not only on Yom Tov, is all the time there. And the miracles are all the time. And that's why, for example, only when the candles are lit, we don't do any work. Women especially, and men if they want. But Halacha says, if men want to not do work the whole day, they're not allowed to. They have to work the whole day like a normal day. Why? Because that's exactly the idea. To understand that holiness is everywhere, all the time, and we have the job to take this light and light the darkness and show everybody that God is here all the time. Not only on Shabbos, not only on Yom Tov, also on a normal day. And everything is in front of us. The problem is that we don't open our eyes. That's, again, light to open our eyes, to see through the day, through the darkness. Unfortunately, I've got no more time, but there is so much to talk about Chanukah and other things. Maybe we'll have next Tuesday is still Chanukah, I think. So maybe next Tuesday we'll try and talk a little more about Chanukah. Chanukah Sameach to everybody.